Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So we're talking about the course of human events that has brought the country to a state where the average citizen is a savage, taking a bite out of one another through men they call benefactors, but are actually rulers of authority that take away the freedom and liberty of the individual in order to appease the appetite for benefits of the mob. That's where you come. And that's the symptoms. I mean, like, okay, you go into a doctor's office, they're going to ask you, you know, like, you're running a fever, you know, how you're sleeping at night, do you have pain anywhere? Well, you take a look at the patient. What's going on with the patient? They're killing their children. They're cursing their children with debt. This is the symptoms of your society. What's the disease? The disease is selfishness. You care about yourself more than you care about others. So when I tell you that there could become a day here where everybody in the nation is starving, that we're on the brink of such a disaster on a regular basis, and it's only a matter of time before we get to the point where we are literally in that situation. You know, what's your first idea? Well, I need to stock up. I need to get into an intentional community of other people that are stocking up because I need to be saved. You've already lost. You're already dead. You're dead to Christ because you're not following Christ. You're not following his example. You're not gathering together to save one another, to save your children and the children of your neighbor with the same enthusiasm. It's all about you still. It's not about righteousness. So you set in motion by your... You know, maybe you're a really smart guy, you know, maybe a lawyer or, you know, a doctor or an engineer, and you're making lots of money and you can create for yourself what you think is the remedy. But you don't care about others as much as you care about yourself. You're not trying to get the word out to others that they need to start caring about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. You're not getting the word out that you need to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. You're not forgiving your neighbor because, I mean, your neighbors have been slothful. They have been greedy for gain. You've been greedy for gain. Maybe not as much as them, but still you know, if you're trying to set up your own little salvation network, personal salvation network, you know, your buddies and you are putting up storage. Or maybe you've just been oblivious to the whole thing and you've been slothful. Whatever. You're not thinking like Christ unless you're gathering together to save others. And therefore, you're still being pulled down a spiritual path that's going to make you subject to tyrants. Now, that tyrant may be in, you know, in Toronto, Canada, or City of London, or, you know... Or New York at the United Nations, or in Washington, D.C., or Sydney, Australia, wherever your personal tyrant is. But it could be that it's the mob that comes through and robs you. You know, the marauding bands that come, they will be your tyrant. They will rule over you. They will kill you. They will rob from you. And they should be able to do that because you haven't the armor of God. You do not have the pillar of fire that protected the Israelites. You know, when the Israelites were getting through the famine, they were helping others. That's what Philos makes very clear, that they were helping other Egyptians. Why do you think the Egyptians loved them? Because they had set up their own Pharaoh emergency ministry auxiliary that was going to take care of the needs of the people when the Pharaoh failed to do so during the plagues. And they became... These Israelites became extremely popular because they were actually providing a real service for a society. And the government didn't like them there because it made the government look bad. And so they wanted to get rid of them. And of course, when they left, many Egyptians went along with them because they said, you know, we're better off going with these guys because the guys here, all the socialists back here in Egypt, they don't care about anything but themselves. So many Egyptians left with them because these are the people that learned to come together and care for one another during the time of famine, and they got through the famines fairly immune. Your churches aren't going to do that. I just gave an example. You know, I've given this story before where we, when there was a fire in Weed, California, we sent down aid. We were just going to send a little bit, but when people found out we were sending, people added a lot and filled up the van with aid. We could have done more if the network was actually functioning the way the early church was functioning. But what we sent actually showed up in the nick of time, was exactly what they needed, and really helped them out. What the other communities sent from the other local churches and from the Forest Service and from the other people of the community ended up way off, away from where it was needed, piled up in helter-skelter fashion, where the pastor had them dropped in a warehouse, you know, 100-mile round trip away from where they were needed. And they got a phone call that if you need anything, come and take a look in the warehouse and take what you need. Of course, they didn't have any time to drive over there, so most of it just sat there. Some of it was thrown out. It was a total waste. But the preacher who said put the stuff there, he probably got his sermon together, made everybody feel good on Sunday, and everybody else felt good because they gave something. It didn't get to where it would do any good, but they all felt good, and that's what's important, you know, how you feel. Unfortunately, you know how Christ feels about you. You're a worker of iniquity. You're slothful. You should be under tribute. Problem is when the systems of the world collapse, you'll be under the tribute of thieves and savages who will come to your house to devour you. And they should. And you will have no spiritual protection. When you actually decide to follow the doctrines of Jesus Christ instead of these churches that have been bilking you out of fortunes to build big buildings and establish pensions and, you know, and become, in some cases, even millionaires. When you actually decide to follow Christ instead of these brutish pastors, whether you're a 501c3 or not, spiritual changes will start to take place in your life. But you can't do it for the reward. You have to do it because you actually love righteousness. It doesn't say seek the kingdom of God and all the benefits of the kingdom of God. It says seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Come hell or high water. That's what you have to do. And what the early church, what that meant to the early church was they formed a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands. Small congregations linked together with dedicated ministers who have really dedicated their lives towards the service of Christ through the service of his kingdom to feed his sheep, to take care of his sheep. Now, they can't do that without your contributions. But you get to decide what you're going to contribute and how much you're going to contribute. And that sets into motion grace. That's what gives you grace, is the fact that you were willing to give and forgive. You forgive all your slothful neighbors, all your selfish neighbors, and you began to operate like Christ. Christ didn't come and just talk to people who were not sinners. He came to talk to sinners, to help sinners, to heal sinners, in hope that they may change their way to the way of Christ and start caring about one another as much as they care about themselves. That's the commandment. You don't do that. You care about your church. You care about your music. You care about, you know, did that sermon make me feel good? How's my sermon make you feel? You selfish pigs. I have to be hard on you. I have to rebuke you. There isn't enough time left for you guys to sit around. Well, let me read the Bible some more. Let me think about this. No, you have to start acting. like you actually care, and that you want to create that network of people that actually care and give on a regular basis. Not give just to their congregation so that their congregation will all like them. But they have to cast their bread upon the waters in hopes that it might come back to them. If you just give it into your congregation, that you're not going to get much grace from that. It's not those who love you. That's not where grace comes from. Grace comes from loving those that don't love you, that you don't even know, and believing that spiritually I'm setting in motion the Spirit of God, because I come like Christ, who gives away everything. He was rich, he gave that away. He gave his life away. If you're not coming in that name and that character, grace is not going to come back to you. You think that you're saved because you say you believe in Jesus, but you don't do what Jesus said. If you were doing what Jesus said, you would have a daily ministration in your churches that took care of all the social welfare of the people of your church and congregations, and that none of them would need to depend upon Caesar for their daily bread. You're not there yet. You haven't got there yet. You're not even close to there yet. And so you are condemned by your own lack of faith. But you can change that. You can repent. You can start thinking another way. You can start coming together in another way. You can start gathering in a network of people that are also saying, at least, that they want to create a network that operates on faith, hope, and charity, and that perfect law of liberty that manifests the character of Christ by taking care of one another. If you don't come with that spirit, it doesn't really matter whether you're 501c3 or not. Because you can be not 501c3 church and not a church established by Jesus Christ. The fact that once you start down this road, you should start saying, you won't need to fill out a 1023. But you need ministers that are actually also in compliant with Jesus Christ, that are coming in the name of Jesus Christ, is in the same spirit of Jesus Christ, to help you help one another. That's the job of the minister. The minister is not supposed to rule over your conscience. The Holy Spirit is supposed to rule over your conscience. Now, he may often rebuke you, like I do, on a regular basis, for your sloth, for your selfishness, for your foolishness. I can rebuke you for that, but you have to decide whether or not you're going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to make the ministers do it. I'll point it out. Well, you're saying this and you're doing this, and I can't recognize that as a minister. Well, I see a lot of people people tell me this is our minister, and I will accept that. But if I don't eventually see them doing what the early church did, then I will count it as not, and I will not recognize them. Now, I don't condemn people to hell, but I don't want to hold up somebody who's not doing what the early church did. And what the ministers of a congregation are doing is linking them not with each other. Love should do that. Love for one another should link you in a congregation. Forgiveness should allow those links to grow. But what that pastor is supposed to be doing is preaching the kingdom. So he's got to link his congregation with all the other congregations of the network that is a part of the early church, was a part, and should be today. That's his job, to link them. So if he isolates himself, he's not doing what Christ said. If he isolates his congregation by not connecting with other ministers, he's not doing what Christ said. If he's not a peacemaker, he's not doing what Christ said. Now, he may be in some areas of his life doing what Christ said, but there's almost always need of repentance, self-examination. Because you need to know the truth about yourself in order to bring light of Christ and the Holy Spirit into the homes and families of those that you seek to serve. And one of the ways in which you serve them is by connecting them with all the others, which is why we have the Burning Bush Festival, why we have usually a festival in the spring and somewhere in the Midwest. We've had a number of people who've been a part of the network because somebody disagreed, they pack up their toys and they go home. They go away. They don't persevere. And literally, they don't forgive. Because they're going to break off their connection with the network because somebody didn't say what they wanted to hear, or because somebody said something they didn't want to hear. You know, it's kind of like, that seems to be the pervasive thing in the world today, is that you offend somebody. You say something that offends somebody. You know, you have to have your safe space. And, you know, you can't say anything that might offend somebody. And like the one comedian says, you know what happens if you're offended? You're offended. That's it. That's all that happens. Nothing happens. You're just offended. You know, like, what difference does that make? You know, I mean, the old sticks and stones will break my bones. You know, but if where's your forgiveness? If somebody says something you didn't want to hear, or somebody says something you don't think they ought to have said, can't you forgive them and continue seeking the kingdom of God? How can you seek the kingdom of God if you're always breaking off relationships? Why do you think one of the prerequisites for a minister was that he was a husband of one wife? That he wasn't going around divorcing. That he was committed to his family. That his family was in order. He was taking care of his family. Because if he won't take care of his family, why do you think he's going to take care of his congregation? If he doesn't connect with other ministers of congregations, how is he seeking the kingdom? Maybe he's seeking his little kingdom, which takes us back to the survivalist who's stocking up beans and rice up in the mountains. He's just interested in himself. He's not coming in the name of Christ. Maybe himself and his family. But this message of going back to what we used to do in America, which is what made America great, of taking care of one another, that's where we got to go, I think. I think if Trump were to suddenly create the illusion of lifting the 501c3 law that LBJ put into place, you know, maybe removing it or repealing it, if he could even do that. Even there's a suggestion that he's going to do that is actually a bad thing. Because people aren't going to change now. They think, oh, well, we won that battle. We're not 501c3 churches under the IRS anymore. We can actually say anything we want. Politically, well, you could have done that anyway if you had done it the way Christ said. If you do it the way Christ says, you wouldn't ever fill out a 1023. You wouldn't even want it. You'd look at it, you'd read the instructions right there that says churches don't have to apply, and you would never fill it out. You know, when a local pastor, or I was out of town, a local pastor, my family went down to that local church, which is just a community church, which some lady has now closed up. But they went down there, and the local pastor, now that I was out of town, brought in a 1023 and wanted people to fill it out. And the person who was going to do it didn't feel right about it, brought it back and said, I don't feel right about filling this out. They didn't know why, they just didn't feel right about it. And so he began to argue and everything, and they began to pass the form around, and my daughter read the instructions, because she's an instruction reader, must get that from me, and it says churches don't need to apply, and she points it out, and the guy went ballistic. And at last I heard he was making pizzas. He wasn't a pastor anymore. But the reality is that that's never been a problem for real churches. It's only for people who want to be in the business of looking like a church, who don't want to really come in the name of Christ, but make everybody feel like they're coming in the name of Christ. And The guys who suddenly said, oh, we don't want to be 501c3 because we want to be the free church in Christ, they're not doing what Christ said. They're just not 501c3, you know. They're unregistered churches. But they're not necessarily doing what Christ said. Now, I will admit that some of these guys are doing a little bit of what Christ said. You know, they are helping people somewhat, but, I mean, a psychiatrist can help people somewhat. A psychologist can help people somewhat. Some of them. Some of them can make the situation worse. But aren't we supposed to be preaching the whole gospel of Jesus Christ? We can't just preach what is convenient. And the whole gospel meant that they created a daily ministration that took care of the welfare needs of all Christians so that none of them had to go and apply to the men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority. That's where the pastor needs to be taking you to. And if he doesn't know that, he's a brutish pastor. He's a dull, dullard pastor who's a dullard in the ways of the kingdom of God. And he's probably making a lot of money doing it. Because very few people can handle the truth that they have believed a lie and that they are not saved. And that they are not following Christ. And they are not doing the will of the Father. And they are actually workers of iniquity. They don't want to know that. They don't want to hear that. And that's just the way it is. And so, we're just looking for those who want to hear it. Who want to hear the truth that will set them free. And are willing to pursue the righteousness of God and the ways of God. And are not willing to fall prey to the brutish pastor. 501c3 or not. There's so many levels of this, but are you an intentional community? We've had so many shows now on intentional communities. We've had so many shows on church governance, how the early church operated. It wasn't a government of power. It was a government of service. It was a government based on faith, hope, and charity and that perfect law of liberty, which meant you could give or not give. But you get to choose who to give to and how much to give. And if you choose to be selfish in your giving, then expect the fruit of that selfishness to come back to you. Magnified in the wrath of God. That's right. And destruction will suddenly be upon you. You know, the word brutish is defined as resembling or characteristic of a brute. You know, the noun brute is a savage, violent person or animal. Well, you say, well, my pastor's not violent. Is he taking benefits from men who exercise authority, who are violent, who force the contributions of the people so that he will be socially secure? Then he is violent. He's just a coward. He doesn't want to steal from the neighbor because he might get beat up. But he doesn't mind sending the government there to take from him because, see, he's part of that one purse, bite one another system that has come down to us through Cain and Nimrod and Babylon. He is a part of Babylon. And he is not doing anything to help you lead you away from the habits of eating at the expense of your neighbor. As a matter of fact, he doesn't tell you that there's anything wrong with that. Because if he did, contributions would stop coming in. I've had pastors say, well, I can't tell the people that because if I tell, they won't contribute. And I says, why are you whispering? There's nobody even near us. He has to whisper when we're out in the middle of a field when he talks about, I can't tell them the truth because, you know, they don't want to hear the truth. So you have a congregation of liars who love the lie and not the truth? Oh, please don't raise your voice. This is crazy. You don't have any time to continue to waste your time. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to these churches. I'm telling you to wake up. Hear the gospel of the kingdom. Hear the ways of Christ. Find out what the righteousness of Christ is and seek that. Which means that you need to walk in constant forgiveness. Of your neighbor, of anybody, everybody, even your enemy. You have to forgive your enemy. You can't get mad at anybody. because you're usurping the wrath of God. You don't want to be the tough guy that's going to protect you. You want God to be the tough guy that's going to protect you. And therefore, you have to leave judgment to God. In the New Testament, we see the word brute a number of times. You know, it's from a particular Greek word, alogos. Alogos, ah, is a negative form. Alogos is the word. That's the word for word, negative word. It actually means something that is unreasonable. So if that's true, if it means not reasonable, then logos, by its definition, is not just the word, but it's reason. And that's why we have, you know, the truth is supposed to have to do with right reason. Well, it's reasonable that if it's okay for you to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, free education, free healthcare, free benefits, then it's okay that they force you to pay for what they want, their abortion, you know, their sex change operation, whatever. I mean, it's fair. That's reasonable. And you have chosen to go the way of the world. But Christ said, not be of the world, to be of faith, hope, and charity. So that's where we got to go. I'll tell you a little bit more about this in the New Testament when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. So, what's the solution? The solution is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit established and sent to us by Christ. That Spirit, the law is spiritual. Creation, all of creation came about because of Spirit. Everything that is in existence is the result of a spiritual reality. That subtle spiritual reality that is the reality that brings about the world that we see around us. And the fact that there is no reserve of bread and we are facing absolute starvation and deprivation and murder and mayhem is because of the fact that spiritually we do not have the Eucharist of Christ in us. So what is the Eucharist of Christ? Well, we have links to articles on the Eucharist of Christ. But one of the things is if your church gives out a little wafer of bread for communion, and they think that's the Eucharist of Christ, it's pretty clear that that is a brutish pastor and that he isn't really following the way. So this lack of reserve or seeming lack of reserve in the world today of what we call bread is the spiritual repercussions of our lack of the Eucharist of Christ. Because Christ, we know, can produce bread instantly. It can be there for us. It can feed us. But we have to repent and follow his ways. Instead of following the ways of the brutish pastors, which your modern Christian is enriching on a daily basis to keep them and their family asleep and vulnerable in a time of great disaster. They are not believers in the word, but they are believers in the alogos, the anti-word, the against the reason of Christ. So anyway, in the Old Testament, we see this brutish word a few places, and there are several words that are involved, the adjective and the noun, and on our page, brutish, we go in and discuss some of that. But in the New Testament, we see this word that is translated brute, a number of times. I mean, it appears first in Acts, and it's actually talking about prisoners. But the word itself is, well, also translated other ways, you know, other than brutish, but also unreasonable. And we see it in 2 Peter 2:12, and we see it in Jude 1:10. But in Peter 2:12, well, let's go back to 2 Peter to the first verse. But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers amongst you. Remember now, teacher, teaching, doctrine. So all these churches out there have doctrines, and you read their doctrines, and some of them have very little quotes of Jesus Christ at all. And so if they're not quoting Jesus Christ, but they're telling you what they think the quotes mean and all this stuff, that's private interpretation. Private interpretation is not exclusive to some individual. It includes ministers in their private capacity interpreting the Bible for you. That's not the doctrines of Christ. That's the doctrines of that individual. Now, that individual might be in conformity to Christ, but he might not be. And how will you know? Well, by the fruits, you'll know them. So does that individual, is he trying to create a daily ministration based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, or is he sending you to benefactors who exercise authority? Well, if he's sending you to benefactors to exercise authority, the fruits of his gospel is bondage and slavery. The fruits of the real gospel of Jesus Christ, who said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," which means to love your neighbor as yourself and to give of yourself to others in hope that it comes back to you. That's the real gospel. If he's preaching that, then maybe we can listen to him. If he's not preaching that, he probably should get away from him because he's a false prophet, even if occasionally he does say something that's true. And you certainly shouldn't be supporting him. You certainly shouldn't be funding him. You should be funding those people who tell you the truth about yourself and show you the ways of the truth, the ways of Christ. So why do you support them? So that they can go out and teach other people. I'm here all alone with my staff of none today. And so we just had somebody calling the church phone while I'm on the air, and I didn't answer it because I'm already talking to you. And I'm trying to tell you the ways of Christ. And I want to tell others, but I can't do that without your help. Well, actually, I could, with the help of Christ alone, but Christ is not going to do it. He wants you to start doing it, because when you start putting your faith in action, and when you start really coming in the name of Christ, you can be blessed. And this is what Peter goes on to say. Because he's talking about these false prophets amongst you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, saying that you're saved even though you don't do what is right, that you're not doers of the word, but you're saved because you thought a thought. You saved yourself by your thinking. You saved yourself by eating from the tree of knowledge. That's just completely ridiculous. You can't save yourself. You can be saved when you submit to Christ and receive his Holy Spirit and awaken to the ways of righteousness and seek those ways of righteousness in real ways that actually bless one another. Then you will be blessed with the grace of God. If you don't, you will not receive the grace of God. You cannot be saved by your thinking. That's what the devil told you in the garden, that the tree of knowledge would save you. No, it won't. It's the tree of life. And the tree of life, if you're eating from that, you will be giving life to others. You will become like Christ to serve others. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And the way of truth is what? The way of love, of caring for one another, not forcing one another to care for you, but voluntarily caring for others. Not just those who love you back, but anybody. You have to figure this out, and the Holy Spirit will guide you, but you can't even hear it if you do not start the walk. And that walk begins with turning around and thinking a different way. And through covetousness, he goes on to say, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That's you guys. Your covetousness has created this, made you merchandise of men who exercise authority one over the other. You're a surety for their debt. That's what you've done. He's talking about you guys. I'm trying to tell you to repent of your ways so that we can talk about you as those who follow the ways of Christ. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, that's you, because you're not doing righteousness, you're not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, you're playing church. 501c3 or not, you're playing church. And I have to be hard on you because there's little time. And what's the next quote about? Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where you live. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. That's you guys. Expect the same thing to happen to you guys. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So it's not enough to be upset by the unlawful deeds you see around you. I mean, I'm getting to be close to a very old guy. So, but I look around at the world I saw 50 years ago, and I look around at the world today, and it's unbelievable. The unrighteousness that's around, you know, in polyester, but it's still unrighteousness. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Actually, what that word there, government, that's normally translated dominion. You know what dominion is? That's responsibility. They despise personal responsibility. They love government, you know, of the men who exercise authority one over the, mostly they love their benefits. A lot of them complain about, oh, the government's taking so much, and oh, we don't want to pay taxes, oh, and they're robbing us, but they don't want to be, they don't want to take back dominion, which, and pure religion, being responsible for one another and taking care of one another. Like I always say, I can find lots of people who want to be free, but I can't. It doesn't say seek the kingdom of God and freedom. It says seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So finding people who are seeking righteousness and pure religion, that's hard to find. That's rare. It's more precious than gold. So you stock up on your gold and you stock up on your beans and rice. You ain't got the real value. Somebody's going to come along and steal it from you anyway, and then your family's going to be dead, and then you're going to say, oh, I should have listened to Brother Gregory and changed my ways and come in the name of Christ. Come to save others, not myself. If you do that, then God can save you. He goes on to say, presumptuous are they, self-willed they are, not afraid to speak evil of dignities. That's where we're seeing good being called evil and evil being called good today. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. And that's a whole story in itself, what that means. But these as natural brute beasts, that's you. That's what we were talking about when this this original radio program where somebody thought I said the silos were empty now. We're talking about the beast. How does the beast get the power? It gets it from all you little brute beasts. We're taking a bite out of one another, who are slothful in the ways of righteousness, who are not coming to give to others in righteousness and in charity, sharing with others. You're interested in your toys and your tools and enriching yourself. You're not like Christ, who was rich and gave up wealth. You're not that way yet. And it's time to repent. The natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. That's you, biting one another. Be careful you do not bite one another lest you be devoured. That's what he's talking about. You are designing yourself in a spiritual path where destruction is guaranteed. You speak evil of things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That's where you're at. I'm telling you now, repent, turn around, put on the armor of God by giving of yourself, laying down your life for others, laying down some of your stuff. You don't need all your stuff. You need to learn to give it away, to share it with others in a wise way. But you need to start being givers again of life, because that's how you eat of the tree of life. You cannot be selfish and in the kingdom. There are no selfish people in the kingdom of God. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, and actually on you. That's what they're doing. They're eating one another. You're already in a spiritual state of cannibalism. So cannibalism will become what you receive. This is the seed you're sowing. Biting one another to get your benefits. Taking from one another. Taking from their children and grandchildren because you're borrowing money to sustain your system of benefits at the expense of others. Polybius knew it. Plutarch knew it. John the Baptist knew it. Jesus Christ knew it. But the brutish pastor doesn't know it, doesn't preach it. This will take a transition. It will take time. But these people have their eyes full of adultery. They are adulterers and fornicators with the world, applying to the benefactors who exercise authority, yet saying they are Christian. Yet that's why Christians were persecuted, is because they would not apply. But today they do. Because their brutish pastors, their dull, stupid pastors have said it's okay. That's what brutish pastor means. And that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices and cursed their children with debt, made them a surety for debt, born today in debt, which have forsaken the right way, which is taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, and gone astray following the way of Balaam, the Nicolaitan. Go read our articles on Balaam and Nicolaitan. I should put a link here for that. The son of Bozer, who loved the wages, the benefits of unrighteousness. That's you guys. The benefits that come by forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. All these benefits that are provided by a government that operates on force are the covetous practices that have cursed you. You should be providing all those things through faith, hope, and charity. That's the government of God. That's the kingdom of God. Taking care of one another through that free will. Caring for one another. Not loving the wages of unrighteousness, but hoping for the wages of righteousness. When you start that, when you repent and turn around and start walking that walk, forgiving one another, coming together with one another, not abandoning one another. When you can do that, now you set into motion that protection of God. From the time beginning, you were rebuked about this. And he goes on to say in verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are all wells without water. Clouds are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. The vulnerability of society is a product of your spiritual path. And unless your spiritual path is that path of Christ, who came to lay down his life for others, give his life for others, sacrifice his life for others, then you're not coming in the name of Christ. And you will not receive the grace of Christ, the protection of Christ. And he goes on to say, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. That's those brutish pastors. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. That is why you're in bondage. Because you are not following the ways of Christ. You're not a part of his holy church, which isn't established by me, but established by the Father through the Son. And his kingdom comes when his will be done. And his will is that you love one another, not force one another, and become those brute savages spoken of by Polybius 300 years before Christ, which is about the time that we see the arise of the Essenes. They existed about 300 years before Christ. They didn't call themselves Essenes. They called themselves something else. But there's always been people trying to live by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, like Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. The preachers down there at the church that you're paying now, are they preaching righteousness? Or half a Jesus? Because Peter goes on to say, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, which, 150 years ago, most of us had. My family's been in this country for over 200 years. Back in the 1600s, we first started coming over. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The starvation and deprivation and famines of Rome are nothing compared to the fall of modern Babylon and Rome. Back in those days, hundreds of thousands of people died. Tens of thousands in a city of 100,000 was common. But today, we're talking millions and billions of people. And all you have to do is repent and turn around, and then that grace becomes an armor. He goes on to say, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, which we used to know in this country, taking care of everybody through faith, hope, and charity, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has returned to his vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So we're looking for ministers who want to wash feet of the pigs and the sows and the dogs who have returned to their vomit. And we're looking for congregations that will support those ministers. And they're hard to find. And we need help finding them. And we don't need your support. We have the support of Christ. But you need to support righteousness instead of unrighteousness. You need to promote the ways of God rather than the ways of the brutish pastor. You keep going to the church you're going to, but bring the truth in. And if the truth is not welcome, you will be cast out. And the truth is, we haven't been following the ways of Christ. We haven't been seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We have not been setting up a daily ministration. We have not been tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. We have not been coming in the name of Christ, but in the name of a false Christ, because we have been false prophets, deluding the people into thinking that they are saved because we have a nice, soft voice. I'm not a nice, soft-voiced guy. I'm a nice guy. I mean, I'm not beating you up because I like to see you hurt. I'm beating you up because I want to see you saved. I want to see you seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to see you repenting. I want to see you walking in forgiveness and righteousness. I want you to see you persevering until the end. No more quitting because somebody didn't say something or do something the way you wanted it done. Christ was seeing guys do that all the time, and He prayed for them. Do the same. Until we meet again, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.